Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We've got a special session of the Virginia General Assembly starting next week, and a man who presided over a lot of sessions of the Senate here in Virginia is the former Lieutenant Governor, Republican Bill Bowling, and he is with us today to kind of talk through what he's seeing. I follow you on Facebook, Bill, and you're very measured in what you say, but you seem very distressed by some of the things that are happening too. What's your snapshot assessment of where we are at the moment?
Well, John, first of all, good morning, and thanks for having me on. It reminds me of that scene out of Alice in Wonderland where, you know, Alice wakes up one morning and looks through the looking glass and doesn't recognize anything that she sees. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of where I think we are in Virginia right now. There's been such a transition in political power in our state. That transition of political power has, without question, taken the state in a very different philosophical and policy direction very quickly. And then you've got all these other events, COVID-19 and, you know, riots and protests superimposed over top of that. So, it's just a crazy time. You wake up some morning and you look out and you see the things that are going on, and you just really shake your head and say, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You know, I had a post this morning on social media that dealt with some of that, you know, with all of the stuff that's going on in the city of Richmond in the last few months, which I think has really been very harmful to the image of the city of Richmond. And yet you have the mayor who comes out yesterday and says his top priority for the upcoming session of the General Assembly is to legalize marijuana.
I mean,
and
delusional.
You shake your head and you go, what? I mean, you know, what planet are these people living on? Mm-hmm. There certainly got to be more important and pressing issues that we ought to be addressing. So, yeah, it's just a strange time. But, you know, we've been through strange times before, and we're strong and we're resilient. And, you know, hopefully some of this stuff settles in and people kind of get their reason about them again soon.
What do you think is going to happen with this special session? Are Republicans just completely neutered here? Gained enough strength to speak out? I mean, Todd Gilbert's been on a couple of times. I give him credit for at least standing up and raising a little bit of hell here. But, I mean, can they do anything?
Well, I don't think they're neutered. I think they do still have a voice, and frankly, the balance of power, particularly in the state Senate, is still very close. So, you know, there are opportunities perhaps to break some votes within the Democratic caucus and maybe get a couple votes to come over the Republicans' way on certain issues. But they're in a weakened position. And, you know, you have a Democratic governor, you have Democratic majorities in both houses of the General Assembly. And if they decide to walk in lockstep, then there is very little other than being a voice of dissent on some of these issues that Republicans can do. And there are going to be some big issues. You know, when the governor called this a special session, he said there were three things that he wanted to focus on. Number one was revising the Virginia budget to reflect the revised revenue forecast subsequent to the economic impact of COVID-19. That means the budget right now is about $250 million out of balance, so they got to figure out how to deal with that. But then he also said he wanted to look at emergency issues related to COVID-19. I think the biggest piece of that could become a push on the part of the Democratic majority for mail-in voting in the fall. We'll see how that unfolds. Mm-hmm. And then he also said he wanted to address criminal and social justice reforms. And the governor has not yet laid out his agenda on that issue, but other liberal organizations have. For example, the ACLU of Virginia has laid out what it wants to see done, and it is a pretty aggressive package of liberal, quote, reforms, end quote, that involve things like ending the policing of what they call low-level offenses, implementing statewide policies for use of force and body cams, abolishing civil asset forfeiture, establishing civil authority over policing, independent investigations of officer-involved shootings. So, you know, I suspect when it comes to this, quote, criminal and social justice reform, that's the type of legislation that's going to get introduced. And then I suspect a push for Republicans will be this whole question of the parole board and how the parole board dealt with this recent case that you were talking about right before I came on the air and trying to enact some reforms there. So I think it's going to be a very interesting, very substantive special session, and I think those are the kinds of issues that are probably going to be on the table.
Yeah, it's interesting they've waited so long for the special session and kind of cloaked it as a pandemic need, and yet there are all these extraneous issues, important issues, that we're arguing over as a society. But this is why Virginia has been smart not to have a full-time legislature, is it, you know, being in the session in January and February forces the members of the legislature to pick and choose what they're going to deal with, to deal with priorities. And when you start adding these special sessions, especially under the guise of dealing with the pandemic, and then you go down a whole bunch of other roads, that's a potential problem. I got to go in a second, but let me ask you, you sound like on your Facebook page that you're flirting with the idea of returning to politics and, you know, maybe jumping in to run for governor. You spent 8 years as lieutenant governor. I personally think you were totally screwed over by other Republicans. I don't like the way you were treated. From what I am told, a bunch of agreements were broken and you were mistreated. But do you look back at that and think you would handle things differently with some of the people you supported in light of how you were treated?
Well, I guess I'd say two things about that real quick. Number one is that, you know, I think things certainly could have evolved differently if we had kind of stuck to what we thought was going to be the plan in 2013. I don't think had we done that, we would see we would have seen this complete Democratic takeover of Virginia. So the decisions that were made back then, I think, were of great consequence. And I don't, you know, I don't believe in reliving the past. You know, past is past. And right. And also believe that things work out the way they're supposed to in life. And you know, right now I'm having a great time teaching government and politics to young people at VCU and George Mason. That's the way that I want to end up my political career, kind of being a voice of hopefully education and reason. And you know, I mean, there have been a number of folks who have contacted me and said, you know, would you consider getting back in the political game? And I'll be very honest with you. My answer to that is no. I would not consider that. I'm not considering that.
Okay.
You know, given the direction that politics has gone these days, a team of horses couldn't draw me back into that partisan political morass. But it doesn't mean that I still can't have a voice and speaking out on the issues of the day, trying to use some of my experience, calling people back to a sense where government works again. That's really, I think, the mission that I've been given, and it's a very comfortable place for me where I'm very happy to be.
Okay. Well, sorry to throw that hand grenade question at you. I tried to do it delicately, but yeah. I always appreciate the chance to talk to you personally, and you've got a lot of experience and insight to share, and I appreciate you coming on WRVA to share
thank
it with
you,
us.
Thank you, John. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.